I think it's important that we're pushing each other to learn new things and think outside the box and redefine engagement and redefine analytics and what we want from it.
Welcome to Event Profs Cast, a podcast built for you by Hubelo Technologies. And now here's your host, Rachel Moore.
We're back, folks. That's right. Back with more golden nuggets of great event planning insights from experts throughout the events industry. I'm your host, Rachel Moore, and you've hit play on part two of a discussion we had with Liz Caruso, CEO of Liz King Events and TexiTalk. We recorded this convo late in 2021, and Liz was right in the middle of some extra, more personal planning, aside from events and community and all the things she works on constantly. Well, how about we let her tell us about it, coming up right now on Event Profs Cast.
Let's say you're like at an in-person event, you've got a room full of people in chairs, and you might have a very packed room, but you look across and again, like 7 out of 10 people are doing this number, you know, checking something, or even like having a laptop out on their lap and they're like, I'm working and listening, which is again, totally fine. I find that it's interesting too, because someone maybe 5 years ago, maybe even just 2 years ago, might've looked out at that and be like, oh my God, this is not connecting. But now, and you talk about digital first, which I love. And we'll talk in a moment about the fact that you said you started your company on Twitter, which makes me just, oh my God, I'm fangirling over here. But digital first, and then realizing maybe that's not a disadvantage, that the person is connecting in some other way. You frankly don't know what they're looking at on their phone, but I think it seems fascinating that now they're learning they can incorporate. And when I say they, brands and event planners and stuff, but are learning that let's turn that to our advantage. Let's not see that as a detractor, that the person has multiple screens and watches, you know, that are competing for their attention. How do we incorporate that? How do we use that? That's still a hook to bring them back. And just welcome that, welcome the fact that they are connected in all those ways. Through money and digital, you literally, you know, exactly. and some strong will, you can get pretty much anywhere that person's trying to connect rather than having their eyeballs on you. It seems like it's just the possibilities are endless, isn't it?
Yes. It's so much more flexibility and so many more possibilities. And that's what I think 2021 has been. People starting to see that instead of just wanting to go back where it was comfortable, you're starting to say like, but wait, this new thing, whatever it was that we did, that opened us up to a whole new audience. You know, we have some clients who don't even want to go back to in-person. And there are many who, even when they go back, they will keep that virtual piece because they've seen, look what we could be doing. You know, and it seems like every platform I talk to is thinking about how do we make year-round potential for our clients? Because again, they're wanting to do more, sometimes smaller events, but more frequently, more targeted towards the right consumer. And all of these are good moves that we should have been making as an industry anyway. So
yeah,
it's all good.
All right. So we've talked a lot about 2021, you know, and obviously things before that too, and just kind of where we've been. Obviously you've got a lot on, you know, that you're expecting and know it's going to be ahead in 2022, notwithstanding new family additions and things like that. But I mean, people are starting to talk about it. I was actually pretty proud. I put together my 2022 plan for our social media marketing. And so looking ahead, and I'm sure people are chattering about this. What are you hearing? What are you hearing people say about 2022 and what everything's going to mean and what can we expect and what should we be planning for?
That's where I'm hearing so much optimism. I think people have seen that the later 2021 getting busier and busier. I know even for us, we're starting to see the in-person requests coming back. We're starting to see those hybrid coming from the client as compared to us bringing it up and them thinking we're crazy. They're saying we're definitely keeping these components, which is always nice. And I talked to 10 people already today and all of them are kind of saying the same thing. It's been so busy. 2022 is looking even busier. And I think it's very exciting. So there's a lot of potential. I think because in my opinion, again, the events industry was so far behind, that optimism is in my world, at least, like equally paired with this, like, we have to deliver. We cannot fail. We can't just say, yeah, sure, let's go back and like do what we were doing before with this other live stream. You know, it's not okay to just kind of barely figure it out.
Right.
We really have to figure out, what does this look like for our clients? How do we make them successful and raise the bar? So I think there's so much opportunity, but I see it with this, like, maybe that's just my pessimism, that little like scoop of like, but if you fail, 2024, 2023, those are going to be really hard years. You know, you have to prove that the money that people are now wanting to spend in our industry in a different way is going to really give them the return that they want. So
yeah,
I think it's important that we're pushing each other to learn new things and think outside the box and redefine engagement and redefine analytics and what we want from it. So it's, I think it's a great opportunity. I'm really excited.
You know, you're talking about the return on investment. What metrics are you seeing that people are needing to deliver to their clients and, you know, watch as they do events now and they're kind of saying, okay, this is demonstrating we did a good job or that we need to pivot, but what are those metrics? Obviously sometimes it's going to be a little different for different brands and clients, but what are you kind of seeing in the industry and for yourself or the people that you help manage? What's mattering to them to say this was worth it?
I think a lot of people are looking at number of connections made, number of minutes watching sessions, you know, some of the more engagement focused things. It's not how many people registered. It's not necessarily even how many people showed up. It's about out of who came, were they the right target audience and how interested in the content were they? And then of course, could we turn that into a sale or into whatever it is you're trying to achieve? So I am seeing a lot more of those analytics around engagement. And, you know, sponsors are one of those categories of people that they were not happy in 2020. And now they're really rethinking, you know, if especially you move towards a hybrid model in the virtual world, are they getting those extra numbers that they weren't getting from your in-person event? Are they able to engage in a way that still leads to the sale, even though the interaction is totally different? So really thinking about that, I think that's the kind of stuff that we're seeing people asking for.
Yeah.
And it kind of shapes then the analytics that we're looking at.
Yeah, no, that's great insight. And again, for anyone watching or listening, this, you know, we're trying to provide a good resource on this show to be like, you know, if you don't know what you don't know, now you know, and we want to, you know, I don't know if that would be very good. We all know, Rachel, we all know. Let me pivot to you. You know, I know I introduced you, you know, CEO and chief event strategist at Liz King Events. I know you from Taxi Talk, which was an amazing event that we were able to be part of. What do you do and what are you planning to do for this next year? What's coming? What do you got?
Yeah. So, I feel like I'm kind of in that, like, oh, finally everyone wants to talk about what I want to talk about stage. You know, I feel like now we're going full throttle with stuff that we were doing for the last 10 years that people were like, oh, that's interesting. And then they kind of walk away and go back to doing what they were doing before. So 2022 is looking very busy from the client perspective, just working with different conferences and events and helping them plan and execute and do all of that, which is really exciting. And then on the Taxi Talk front, really excited to bring back an in-person component to our virtual events.
Nice.
Our conference used to be in-person only. And then in 2018, we were like, okay, we've done this for 10 years, getting boring, nobody cares. That was the truth. As much as I was talking about all this stuff, they would come back the next year and ask the same questions. And I was like, why are we doing this? So we ended it. And then in 2020, it was like, clearly we need to bring this back. So we brought it back virtually. So we did it virtually for the last 2 years. So we're really excited to bring back that piece.
Not sure if you knew this, but there are so many really smart people out there who work in the events industry. You're hearing from one in this very episode. And at Hubelo, we love to catch up and hit record to talk to someone smart and then turn that convo around into something helpful for you. Take a look at Hubelo's YouTube channel for our playlist, Hubelo Studio Chats. These are in-person, in-the-middle-of-the-action recorded interviews held in the thick of events happening across the globe throughout the year. You'll get the insights from international confex, IMEX, Event Tech Live, and so many more gatherings. Just think of us as the roving microphone bringing you the sound bites you love to hear. Find Hubelo on YouTube and check out the Hubelo Studio Chats playlist.
And in the last 3 years, when we ended Texi Talk in 2018, we started doing more virtual global community building. And so that kind of started in 2018, 2019, 2020 took it to another level. So now we're really looking to double down on that and keep our community global and add all those in-person components back while still obviously having the virtual stuff.
Cool. That's so exciting. I can't even imagine. I just feel like, I mean, and Hubelo's got a bit of that story too. Like I think, you know, right about March, 2020, was, you know, we were basically just an app that supplemented the in-person event experience. It's just like, yeah, go network with people who are already at this event with you, near you and around you. And then nobody was near you, with you and around you because everybody's like, stay home, stay home, stay alive and stay home, you know? And so those events went away. And then we had to just like, well, let's make something where people can virtually get together and enjoy it. And just like your community, you know, building those online communities, which just must have exploded, I imagine, once it's like, oh my God, I literally can't go anywhere. Where's my people? You know, and yeah, people have to log on to get to them, right? Yeah. I can't imagine that growth must have been amazing.
It was. It was kind of like, oh, this is, we did something called the Pivot Virtual Summit in June 2020, right after we're like, okay, clearly we need to rethink. People need to rethink what they're doing. And I think we had something like 1600 people sign up in 3 weeks. We put the whole event together in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And it was just so much interest and so many people wanted to speak and so many people, and it was great. I mean, it was a good showcase of how flexible the events industry is. We had stories from all kinds of people who were like, this is what I was doing 3 weeks ago. And here's what I'm doing today to make money. And it was such a good event, but there was suddenly all this interest. So it was very exciting. I mean, we had a great physical event before that, 350 in-person people. It was always in New York. But there's just now we have such a global audience, which is, it adds so much new perspective. And yet at the same time, you see how much you're all kind of going through the same thing in this particular case. So that's been really great, I think.
That's so cool. Well, cool. We're almost to the end of our time with you, but I like to ask you a couple of questions that just show us a little bit more about you, Liz.
Sure.
First of all, is there anything you can't put down or turn off lately? Like anything you're reading or binge watching on Netflix or Apple TV or listening to? Any podcasts that you're just like, you can't quit lately?
Oh gosh, no. Sadly, it's been so busy that I couldn't even tell you the last TV show that I watched.
I can relate, believe me.
Mine is like the evening news on the background while I cook dinner or something. Sadly, I don't have a good answer for that one.
That's okay. No. And honestly, it's funny because that used to be my go-to question. Like I used to do these, like, they'd be like a 3 hour training, which is just a slog of training. And so I'd always open, you know, really, you know, speaking of engagement, I'd always open these trainings that had maybe 6 to 16 people in them at any given time. And I'd always try to say, let's talk about each other first, get to know each other. So we're not all strangers trying to go through this. Cause then we're not going to care. But I'd always ask them like, what are you binge watching? And so I love that question because usually I'd get like some great recommendations. I'd be like, oh, that sounds like a cool show. But yeah, nowadays it's like, I mean, there's so much streaming out there anyway. There's so many shows to watch, but man, we are all not to go back on this theme, y'all, but we're all busy. there's a lot to do.
Yeah. I know either people who have watched everything that Netflix has put out in the last 10 years or people who haven't seen TV in like at least 18 months, don't even know what's out there. I have heard of a lot of great shows. I'll never catch up.
No, I only just now, I mean, and everybody can just point and laugh at me right now because, you know, Netflix has this thing where you can add things to your watch list. I only just last week started adding things to that. Cause I would always like go to Netflix and be like, I don't know. I mean, somebody, what is that show?
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Remember. I hate that. And then I've got, you know, everybody and their brother is telling me, oh, you need to watch Ted Lasso. I'm like, when would you like me to do that? I don't know.
I know. And it's such a time investment. I did watch one episode, but then I can't tell you if I liked it or not because it was like one episode.
Yeah. It took me and my husband 3.5 weeks to watch Squid Game, which, you know, some people are just burning through that thing. And we're like, we could only handle about one episode at a time. Cause it's like, whoa, this is not Ted Lasso from what I can hear. Not the same feeling, but, yeah, we literally were like, and we're old and tired and, you know, 10:05 we turn into pumpkins and go to sleep. And so just, so no, all this to say, you should feel completely justified in not watching anything and not listening. You're getting stuff done. And you're also making a human being. So there's that.
There's that. Yeah.
There's that. What is, think about the last selfie you took. Where were you?
It was probably Halloween.
Nice. But
because we have a 2-year-old, he just turned 2, and then a baby coming, we are still the COVID lockdown people.
Yeah.
Everyone we know has like gone back to normal life and we're like, we can't do anything still.
No. So, oh my gosh. Yeah.
We are still pretty locked down, which, so it was probably like, I didn't even dress up.
It's oh, lame. It was just, oh, that He's was going to be my next busy. Question.
Yeah. No, you my know, son was Mickey Mouse, but.
Well, and don't, again, don't feel bad. I actually, Halloween's like my favorite, holiday now. And I dress up every year. I didn't dress up this year. I was just like, I had no brain capacity for it. I'm like, nope, I'll just love everyone else's just ooh and ah at that. Just the thought of trying to put something together. I'm like, maybe next year. Yeah. So, you know, give ourselves a break.
Feeding into that whole like feeling of burnout and therapy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of event professionals are like, it's enough. Let's just get through the year.
That'll be the tagline for this. It's enough.
there you go. Yeah.
Well, because even dressing up is kind of performative, like, okay, yeah. Doing this kind of for me, but it's just so other people can see me. But if you're in lockdown, you're like, why am I doing this again?
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. So everyone listening, you officially have a break. You have a pass. It's going to be okay. If you need to say no to that thing you always do, that's fine. You need to do it. You need to just say no and let it go into the wayside. Well, and Liz, where can our listeners learn more about you online? Where do we find you?
So I'm at Liz King Events on pretty much every platform and LizKingEvents.com. And then TexiTalk.com is more the kind of educational platform for other event planners. So probably a lot of people who are listening here would have more interest in that than the Liz King Events side. But yeah, you can find me on anywhere on social.
Awesome. But probably not after next week, because it sounds like you might have your hands full for a little while.
We'll see. I have a very hard time shutting things off. So I won't be unreachable, but maybe a little bit less than typical.
Just a little slower on the response time. It's like, yeah, well, exactly. Hey, extra human being over here, you know, got to take care of that.
Yeah.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for taking some time out. Like I said, I'm sitting here in awe just of all the things you have going on. And this is great. It's perspective, because I can think I'm like the busiest person in the world. And then I meet someone, I'm like, no, they are. They're busier than me. So biggest, hugest congrats to you. I know this is going to be a great end of the year for you, and just all the best wishes from me and the rest of the events community. But seriously, appreciate you spending some time with us today here on the show. And mega congrats to Liz, who celebrated her own personal milestone event of welcoming a new member to the family. And as this new year has continued to bring changes and challenges and twists and turns, she continues to navigate them all beautifully. Check her out on social to see what she and what Hublo are up to. Know what we're up to for Event Profs Cast? More content for you always, but how will you know where to find it if you aren't following the podcast? This is your gigantic hint to do that right now on your favorite podcast app. Yeah. Event Profs Cast is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop every week, and we're always gathering new voices from around the globe just for you. You can find Hublo online at hublo.com, on social at Hublo, on Twitter at Hublo Connect, and everywhere by using our hashtag Hubalove. That's Hublo V-E. Here's to your next big milestone, be it personal or professional. We're here for it all and for you at Event Profs Cast. Bye.
Event Profs Cast is brought to you by Hublo Technologies. Thank you for listening. You can visit us online at www.hublo.com.